Here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
We observe the ordinance of baptism and the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And I stand here today because many people participate in the Lord's Supper, but do they really understand why? Hopefully when I finish, you will. Do we really understand why? In other words, just what does the Lord's death and the supper, what does it reveal to us? I can stand here today and say, to properly observe the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, we need to be serious and earnest, and at the same time have an attitude of joyful celebration. That's what we're here for today. It should be a joyful celebration. You see, remembering an event as significant as the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should fill us with a spirit of awe and deepest reverence. The ordinance, that's a little bit loud, cut that down for me just a little bit. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper gives us reason to celebrate what he did for us at Calvary while we anticipate his glorious return. And as we do so, we are actually proclaiming the fact of his redemptive death on the cross. And we need to do this, praise God, for our heart good and for the salvation of other people. Amen. So as I look at our text and some other scriptures that I want to expound on this morning, let's see what the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just what does it reveal to us today? Praise God. I believe I have enough scripture here to pull and show that there's about four things that this ordinance that we are all going to partake of today, there is something that it reveals to us. Praise God. And the very first thing that it reveals to us is that it reveals the awfulness of sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, sin is awful. And Jesus' death revealed the awkwardness of sin. See, can I press my case? Scripture after scripture declare that our sins were the reason for the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. There are many scriptures that says that. Praise God. And this may seem strange to somebody in the 21st century who's hearing this for the first time, but it was our sin. Our sins were the reason why Jesus mounted that cross. It wasn't the Roman soldiers. It It wasn't the Pharisees, it wasn't the Sadducees, but it was our sin. Was the reason. Because sin is awful. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures. See, he came here. He came here to mount that cross. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. When Jesus was about to be born, an angel appeared unto Joseph and said these words, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And look what the son coming from. "For he shall save his people from their what? From their sins." Sin was awful. And at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, I know everybody in here remember a fellow by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was out baptizing. Praise God. And he was baptizing. I don't know how many he was baptizing. But he had baptized that day. And the Bible tells us on the next day, praise God. Amen. I believe it's John chapter 1, verse 29, if I'm not mistaken. That's it. Look what John the Baptist said. He looked out. And he said, John looked out the next day. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He saw Jesus coming. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away what? The sin of the world." He came, praise God, my brothers and my sisters, so that he would mount that cross so that he can take care of our sin problem, because sin was an awful thing, and it still is an awful thing. Apostle Peter, who you recall at one time called himself rebuking Jesus. Oh, y'all remember that? Y'all remember that? All you Bible readers remember that. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus asked him when he was on the way to Caesarea Philippi, he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And all of them start telling him, they tell you, "Elijah, you this and you that, and you that, you John the Baptist, you all that." But then he asked a pointed question to him, like lawyers do. He said, "And who do you say I am?" Peter stood up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He declared unto Peter, "Flesh and blood didn't tell you this, but my Father." If you read that, but then you just go head down, Jesus began to tell his disciples and Peter and all the rest of them that he was going to suffer and that he was going to die and that he was going to get up. And Peter calls himself rebuking Jesus. "You're not going to do this. You're not going to do this." And Jesus had to call Peter out of his name. Just got you calling them Cephas and upon this rock. Now he said, "Get behind me, Satan. Because you talk like somebody that's out of this world." Praise God. And guess what? This same Peter had to later write in his epistle. I want you to look at these words. Praise God. Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. Praise God. Peter had to write these words to those scattered Jews who were scattered at that time because of persecutions. He had to write words of hope. He had to write words of holiness to these people. Praise God. But look what he writes. He said, "Who his own self bore our what? Sins in his own body on a tree. That we, being dead to sin, should what? Live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but thank God, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop," praise God, "of your souls." You see, it was at the cross where we were confronted with the fact that each of us is a sinner and in need of God's forgiveness. So as we partake of this ordinance today, this Lord's Supper today, we need to understand that it revealed the awfulness of sin. But a second thing that it revealed, it also revealed the greatness of God's love for sinners. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I got to do the same thing. Say, God loves sinners. God loves sinners. God loves you. Praise God. And his death on the cross revealed, praise God, the greatness of his love for sinners. That's why I try to tell people in this world, don't let nobody ever tell you that you're not worth nothing. Don't ever, 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 never, ever, ever, young folk, don't ever let nobody tell you that you are nothing, that you will not amount to nothing. If you don't tell them no more than the fact that you are a sinner saved by grace and that you are precious in the eyesight of God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Paul picks that thing up in Paul, right, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and he said, but God commended his love towards us in that what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, it is only with the help of the Holy Spirit that we can begin, as Paul said, praise God, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, what is the length, what is the depth, the height, and to know what the love of Christ. You'll find that in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19. Praise God. The know the love of Christ, which passes, praise God, knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's only through love that Jesus Christ had for us as sinners. And in an age that dehumanizes the individuals and discount the value of a person, we come to Calvary, praise God, to see how great God's love is for us. And I must tell you that it is a divine love. Oh, yes, it was a divine love. You see, it was a divine love that conceived a plan by which we could be saved. It was divine love that brought God's plan down to earth. It was divine love that carried out this plan of salvation on the cross. You see, as we partake of this communion on today, we see the greatness of God, of God's love for sinners being revealed. John writes the words of Jesus at John chapter 15, verse 13. He says, praise God, a greater love has no man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friend. So we find that his death on the cross revealed the awfulness of sin. It revealed the greatness of God's love towards sinner. Praise God. Paul liked to say that which he was chief. But I think I take that place from Paul. Praise God. But the third time thing that it reveals, Jesus' death reveals the value of a lost soul. Can I tell you that your soul is worth something to Jesus? Can I tell you that your soul is worth something to God? In the business world, the value of a person to an organization is often revealed by the price an employer is willing to pay for his or her service. And in some parts of the world, human life is considered very cheap. We saw this demonstrated about the last 2.5 weeks when we have a journalist to walk into Saudi Arabia to their consulate.
You have been blessed by the Second Union Baptist Church, 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. 402. They will be glad to hear from you. If you'd like to contact them, you may contact them at 318-445-4875. Tune in next time.